That's my problem. Too much talky talk. No walky walk.
Moving buildings. Flying. River crossing. Oh no.
Over the sea. Horses over the sea.
Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones game.
Sean Bean dies.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Boys Going Swords.
The third best ham description podcast on the internet. Red, describe that ham.
Well, first of all, it was an immense ham. It was a country ham. It was a Smithfield ham, which I didn't realize coming from the West Coast that the Smithfield ham is much like champagne. They all have to come from the region of Smithfield in Virginia. And listen, I generally don't like Republican hams, but this one was a delicious.
Well, it's from the famous Ham Hills of Virginia.
I didn't realize that was a thing. I learned so much yesterday.
Yeah, they're famed for their ham hills.
Yeah, I understand why people live there now. Before, I was confused about that fact.
Listen, ham is a natural resource in the hills of Virginia. That's why they call them the Ham Hills.
Got it. I hope they're not blood hams.
Every ham's a blood ham at one point.
Yeah, I suppose that's the case. You are referring to the meal I went to last night, the Guild of Cookery, the feast.
And how was that? Because we've been fucking mentioning those bastards for God years now.
It was great, and they offered us a free meal years ago when you were still in town and could have taken advantage of it.
Son of a bitch. If only I was a little more proactive on looking at those emails.
If at that point either of us had ever read the emails, that would have helped out a lot. But the offer still stood. The offer still stood. So I went and I introduced him to my lovely wife, Ivan Hernandez, who looked a lot like Lauren. But we've talked about it a lot. They take a menu directly out of the A Song of Ice and Fire, and they attempt to cook that menu. And I don't know if I had mentioned it, but they use medieval cookbooks that they have purchased.
So this is historically accurate ham.
Right, back to the relevant fantasy time in A Song of Ice and Fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which we don't know if it was the past, or we don't know if it's the future. We don't have an exact timeline here.
Well, these actual meals are definitely from the past, England medieval past. But really, just a standout one. It gets better every time they do it. They do it as a pop-up, so it's always in an unfamiliar kitchen. But it started off great. It's gotten better every time. I'm shocked they haven't raised the prices at all, given that it's like a 9-course meal, all on theme. They're clearly like fanatics about the books. They have much deeper theories than I do about a lot of the characters. They're very bitter about the success of the TV show. So if that's your kind of people,
wow! So they're book readers.
Oh, they are the most extreme. They're literally reading medieval cookbooks. Of course, they're book readers. And he showed me. He pulled out one of the medieval cookbooks that they had. It's just garbage. Like, there's nothing. And it's like, yeah. And he's like, there was something. It was like, I forget what the word was. Like, put the yolks in the coffin. And he's like, well, yolks means yolks of eggs, because that's a different way eggs. And coffins are pie crusts.
Well, I've been putting yolks in the coffin for years now.
Well, I'll tell you what. All the funerals my family has put on have been done incorrectly, and we're going to correct that going forward.
Oh, you put too many Scots in the coffin.
I want to be buried in a delicious pie crust.
Oh, I would love to be just buried in a nice custard.
But if you want to see shot for shot every course that came to my table, you can go to the @BoardScoreSwords Twitter feed, where I have posted images there, which were all delicious.
Yeah. Oh,
did you have
it look great?
Did you have a favorite course that you were made angry about?
Oh God, I really liked the, what was it, the prosciutto wrapped duck?
So that was, now you throw me off. We did have duck later. I don't think that was
it was a early course prosciutto wrapped thing.
Yeah,
with some like bone marrow on the side, also wrapped in something.
No, it was stuffed with marrow, mushrooms, and onions, I believe.
Oh, holy Jesus!
Yes.
Well, that looked amazing. Also, the dessert plate looked real nice.
Oh, sorry. It was roast quail wrapped in prosciutto stuffed with the mushrooms and marrow. The dessert plate, that was the one that they really stepped up this time. Like, it was always decent, but this time they had the, like, swan shaped rose water whipped cream thing with the rose shaped lemon flowers, a piece of honeycomb, piece of brie, the spice cake. Really excellent.
Yeah, that looked wonderful.
Yeah, and I actually met a couple of people from the podcast there, which was good.
Oh, so I felt that's nice.
Felt like, it was fun.
I mean, I am going to resent you forever for not saving me some of that ham.
There's like, here's some more ham. And I was like, I could save this for Ivan.
Listen, it would be more a symbolic ham than an edible ham at that point.
Yeah, it was mostly an edible ham. All right. Also, I want to thank, our Patreon listeners. If you want to throw a few shekels to the show, patreon.com/boarscoreswords. By the time you listen to this, we will have the episode 9, I believe. Is it 9? It's going to be episode 9.
Yeah.
Of the Great British. Ivan can't contain his excitement. Episode 9 of the Great British Bake Off is going to be on our Patreon stream, and we're going to have 10 up next week. Got a lot of good feedback from the... I guess it was a non-Patreon, but Westworld, our last What You Should Be Watching. People are losing their minds over Westworld.
Yeah, people are having a good time with our podcast and having a good time watching that show that I...
love unconditionally.
I don't know.
Like a friend.
I mean, I'm going to keep watching it, and it's good.
It's the best thing on television.
I don't know. I just fucking called it so hard on that dead kid being in there.
Yes. No, yes, you definitely
do. It's always a dead kid.
So after my third rewatch of the third episode, I have some very deep theories about that show.
Do you think we're going to... There was demand that we just straight up do all of Westworld.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter. We've had a few people suggest we do all of Westworld. I'm thinking about that. And I think we should...
Let me tell you. I hate books and reading.
Well, so you're thinking of taking this podcast completely over to Westworld instead of book club.
It's like every time it's like, oh, homework.
These are a couple good chapters, though.
I know. I
feel like we're getting into
it. It was a reintroduction of a character who I was like, wait, who the fuck is this? Oh, we've met this guy.
Oh, yeah. No, that was like, I was like, wait, wasn't he? And then I went back and looked. I was like, oh, so.
Yes.
So we will have some stuff to talk about. We are covering Daenerys 3 and Jon 4 from A Dance with Dragons. Again, in the show notes, you will find a link to Tower of the Hand, which has exact page numbers for your specific edition. And let's get into it.
All right.
Daenerys in A Dance with Dragons starts off with the dancers shimmered, their sleek, shaved bodies covered with a fine sheen of oil. Should I be oiling up before I go dancing? Is that something that I'm not doing correctly?
I mean, if you're at all a good dancer, your body produces a layer of natural oils.
I don't know. I think I may need some artificial help. I feel dry all over when I'm dancing, or at best salty.
That's why you need some of that special patented Dumont dancing oil.
Yeah, I need to get some of that. Maybe I'll just rub myself in baby oil the next time I try and go dancing and see if that helps out.
Honestly, I think anytime you leave the house, you should cover yourself in baby oil. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever two torches crossed in the air, a naked girl leapt between them, spinning. The torchlight shone off oiled limbs and breasts and buttocks. This feels like a little like we're getting an embarrassing 12-year-old sexual fantasy here.
I mean, technically, that's kind of what it is. Remember, the characters are very young in the books.
The three men were erect. I don't know if we know that from the sort of godlike narrator's point of view, or if they're all just sort of wearing robes and Daenerys is looking over and being like, man, those guys are so erect. Or is it the dancers who are all erect? I think it's the dancers, actually, now that I think about it. Remembering
where everybody's all erect.
Everybody's erect.
Do you even know what universe we're in? Everyone's got a boner at all times.
That is the one thing I'm sort of annoyed that they removed from the television show, is that you cannot visibly see that each and every man is erect at all times.
Listen, they don't have enough cod pieces in the world, all right?
And they don't have cod pieces of a thickness and a girditude. They're not trust enough to restrain.
We did get a lot of truss answers.
Yes.
We did get a lot of GBBO-related truss answers.
The Unsullied stood like statues in their spiked caps. Erect? Is that how they're standing? Their smooth yes. face is expressionless. Not so the whole men. Resnek's mouth was open, and his lips glistened wetly as he watched.
Are they meant to inflame me? She asked as she watched the Thunder from Down Under review at Cobb's.
That's if you're watching the Thunder from Down Under, that's the saddest review of the show you could possibly get. Are they meant to inflame me? I could see that review in the Chronicle as written by... I can't think of her name.
Next to criticisms of their subpar quesadillas.
They had some truly excellent mozzarella sticks that I've been weeping over their loss for many a year.
Listen, when they were like, they got that one really bad review of their food that was really directly about their food and not the comedy.
Yeah,
I will admit they stepped it up afterwards.
Yeah, they did. They did something about it. It was harder to know what her honored guest was dreaming. Opals winked along the nose of Zaro Zondaxos, which I have to admit I never learned how to pronounce because I thought he wasn't coming up again.
I honestly got like two more pages past this and I was like, wait a second. I remember that name. I remember this guy. Wait, he's not dead?
Right. So
yeah, because if you don't remember, this was a long time ago, season two here. He was the big cuddly black guy who got locked into a vault.
In the television show, he was the big cuddly black guy who got locked into a vault, and so I looked up...
The traitorous bedmaiden, I believe?
So I went back to descriptions of him in the book, and I had forgotten that they're essentially completely different characters. In the in the book, as we see in this chapter, it's pretty clear he prefers men,
explicitly
white, and wanted to marry her so he could get a dragon. In the TV show, as you mentioned, he is not gay, and he sleeps with one of her maids, which is part of why she locks them both in his vault.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he got one of those. Oh, you like vaults, huh? How do you like being sealed in a vault? Kind of ironic deaths.
And
he's just walking around like a bastard.
I'm actually surprised we hadn't heard more from the Think Pieceverse about the erasure of Zaro as a gay character in Game of Thrones.
You have to remember that was before Think Pieces were invented.
It was a long time ago.
That was what, 2012?
Yeah,
the Think Piece economy had not fully come into its own.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And I get it's on some level it's almost better because they killed that character, which would have fallen into the bury your gaze trope. Mm-hmm. Which is
you mean the lock your gaze in a vault trope.
Yeah, who knows if he survived or not. Half the men in the hall had stolen glances at her, but not Zaro. It was the same in Karth. She could not sway the merchant prince that way. Sway him I must, however. As the drums reached a crescendo, three of the girls leapt above the flames, spinning in the air. The male dancers caught them about the waist and slid them down onto their members. That's how you know this is fantasy. Just first try? Catching them in the midair? Come on. All of them are fucking straight as arrows?
Look, I don't know if you've ever gone to certain venues in the New Orleans, but shit can get pretty wild.
And I guess they are, in their defense, they are already covered in oil, so that can help a lot.
Exactly. They're all lubed up and ready to go. You're supposed to not fuck at that point, please. This was the first time she had seen lust put to music, though. Well, obviously, that's just because she's never been with a dude who has a good fuck playlist ready.
If I ever get...
You gotta have that fuck playlist.
What is your fuck playlist named on your Spotify account?
First of all, you should know me better than anybody. I never go Spotify because I don't want those ads ruining the flow of things.
That would be the worst.
Exactly. I ain't got a pro account, so fucking what? I'm gonna have some guy be like, hey, let's talk about insurance while you're trying to come, you idiot.
I mean, in certain situations, that might help.
Who knows? Maybe you're with somebody who really needs to be reassured about the state of their insurance. But yeah, I believe, I mean, the one...
I had the one that was on my iTunes that I left on my computer that is still back in San Francisco, so that playlist is fucking in a closet somewhere. So right now I'm trying to rebuild it, and it is in my iTunes because I switched back to iTunes after using MusicBee, because as bad as iTunes is, everything else is so much worse.
It really is.
Yeah. So that playlist is called Doing It.
Does it have the LL Cool J song on it?
Well, obviously not, because I try to stay away from rap because too many lyrics, and you know, it just starts to muddy the tone of things.
So, not mostly John Philip Sousa marches.
Listen, you're gonna, you know you're getting sensual if you're getting it on with Sousa. Sousa means sensuality.
I have that t-shirt.
So, I mean, I'm trying to rebuild what was a great fuck playlist that went for about 2 to 3 hours without needing to repeat itself. So, right now, we just got a lot of Luke Cage on this playlist.
I was going to say, maybe the Run the Jewels instrumental version.
Oh, and you know there's going to be a lot of instrumentals in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, what's your fuck playlist?
Oh, I do not have music accompanying.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, you remember when Obama released his nighttime fuck jams playlist?
What?
You never saw that? He released two mixtapes, and one was daytime fun, and it was all like fun, happy shit, and the other was nighttime chill. And it was like some very explicit fuck jams were in there.
I'll have to look that up. I wonder if that is on Spotify. I'm sure it is.
Oh, it has to be. I mean, listen, that guy definitely has a pro account.
Yeah. Zara took another bite, chewed, swallowed. Daenerys, sweet queen, I cannot tell you what pleasure it gives me to bask once more in your presence. A child departed Karth, as lost as she was lovely. I feared she was sailing to her doom, yet now I find her enthroned, mistress of an entire city, surrounded by a mighty host that she raised up out of dreams. This guy's very complimentary. He's a good first date.
Although it's pretty weird that he constantly tries to like get people to go into his vault.
Yeah, it's like, hey, come check this out. It's very secure. Comes with a relationship with me comes with a foolproof panic room. What? What's that? Yes, I mean, sure, the handle's on the outside, but what, you know, depends on who's panicking.
Did I say panic room? I meant fun room.
Look, there's gold in the back. Gotcha.
I like this line where he's being real cheesy. Sweetness cloys, tart fruit, and tart women give life its savor.
Yeah, he knows how to roll with the punches, even though he literally winces when he takes a bite out of it.
And I also like his ability to cry on command. Women love it when you cry in front of them.
It's one thing that no woman will ever put on her Tinder profile that they all demand. As soon as you're behind closed doors, they're like, cry for me, motherfucker.
That's all a woman wants. A man to cry right into that pussy.
Even Zara said in a languid tone, even far away in Karth, fearful tales had reached my ears. I wept to hear them. It is said that your enemies have promised wealth and glory and 100 virgin slave girls to any man who slays you. So he is... I'm so weirded out by this character. I keep on imagining the wrong guy. I imagine him being straight, which is just wrong. And the fact that he's not interested in her at all as a woman makes him much more manipulative and evil when I'm like... basically,
okay, now here's another trope you're falling into. The fact that the gay guy pretending to be straight is evil.
Well, I mean, when he's pretending not to be straight, that is evil. Be true to yourself, Zaro.
Needs to know that it gets better.
Yes. Well, I don't know if it is going to get better. It's better than in the TV show, but besides that, I'm not quite sure.
Honestly, some people's it gets better is just the guarantee that they won't be locked into an underground vault. People need to be reassured.
Some people need to be reassured. My manse has seemed as empty as a tomb since Daenerys departed, which is much better than in the TV show when it's an actual tomb, when your manse was a tomb that you died in. I may be a young girl, but I'm not so foolish as to wed a man who finds a fruit platter more enticing than my breast. I saw which dancers you were watching. The same ones your grace was. You see, we're alike.
Also, what if it's a really nice fruit platter? If you got some really fresh blueberries on there with, like, listen, you put some cheese on the side of that fruit platter, I'm always going to be interested. It's always going to catch my eye.
There's something like, I'm sure it's somewhere on the internet, but I'm curious if there's any rendition of this Carthian dress that isn't hilarious in its asymmetry.
So she's wearing. Listen, she's not doing anything that Little Kim already hasn't.
That's a fair point. That's actually a fair point. They pulled that off pretty well. Okay. I admit it. Ask yourself, if all men must grub in the dirt for food, how shall any man lift his eyes to contemplate the stars? If each of us must break his back to build a hovel, who shall raise the temples to glorify the gods? For some men to be great, others must be enslaved. Trump 2016! He literally
this
is.
Really is this really is like, oh my god, he's Milo! He's an evil gay guy trying to thwart our hero. He's Milo.
Holy shit. But first, I'm a little curious. Is it Milo or Milo?
I don't know which it is. I know that he's terrible. Yes. That's what I know.
I know that he's a nightmare creature that probably tortures people at night. Mm-hmm. But this is, they have, it's been a long time. I'm so used to books like the fourth book in Harry Potter where they have Dobby sort of as a stand-in for slavery to have something like this where somebody's making an actual informed gotta hear both sides case for slavery. And it's very unnerving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. This felt real internet-y, especially that one point where, like, Daenerys can't really articulate her argument as to why slavery is bad, but she knows it's bad. And I'm like, this truly is Twitter in a nutshell.
Yeah. Basically, she says, slavery is not the same as rain, which seems like something you shouldn't be caught yelling.
This is like, what kind of fallacy refutation is she trying to engage in?
Remember that this slavery is not rain fallacy. I've been rained on, and I have been sold. It is not the same. Nobody wants to be owned. And Zaro's response is to shrug. He shrugs. That I feel like...
And then he's like, listen, I don't know what I've done in this argument to make you take this side.
When he did turn into a seal, it was... Yeah, it's... It's actually,
by the way, how hilarious is it that the reason that Twitter didn't get bought by Disney is because that they haven't done well to get all the Nazis off?
Yeah, that seems pretty appropriate.
That is so funny to me that all they had to do was kick out the Nazis and they would have made billions of dollars.
I would love to be in that meeting where it's like, who's in charge of Disney now? Michael Eisner's severed head.
I believe it's Iger.
Okay,
I believe Iger is currently I don't know, it might be Eisner still. I have no idea.
Here's the thing, Jack. And is your name Biz? Do you go by Biz? Is that the idiot? And then he turned to his secretary. I'm not meeting with any more Bizzes or Stones from now on. What fucking meeting is this, taking time out from my day? How would you describe the usage of Nazis of your service?
can you explain to me what a... cuck is.
I want to see Biz Stone explaining what a cuck is in a PowerPoint presentation to Bob Iger.
And you know he had to make that presentation. You know that they had to inform those potential buyers.
I hope there was a moment where Bob Iger was like, I feel like this is not being used in the usual sense.
All right, so how many of these Twitter accounts can we turn into a shared universe? None of them? And they're mostly Nazis? Ugh.
Are these accounts willing to portray a bad guy in our next 20 action films? Not a hole, a ditch to bring water. Oh, Zaro's like, well, when I was walking in, I found a guy digging a hole. Not a hole. It was a ditch to bring water from the river to the fields. We mean to plant beans. The bean fields must have water. How kind of my old friend to help with the digging, and how very unlike him. Is it possible he was given no choice in the matter? No, surely not. You have no slaves in Marine. making the very fair argument that if you're given no choice due to lack of economic opportunity, it gets into a pretty dark territory.
I want to know who the merchant, what the merchant's name was. Was it Charo Chonchoxes, maybe?
Who knows? Well, I mean, to be fair, Daenerys actually does know who he's talking about, so that suggests that is less made up than it might be. You spoke of help. Trade with me, then. Mirian has salt to sell and wine. Giscari wine? That was what I said. I mean, Giscari wine is fucking rot gut garbage and overpriced as well. It's like it used to have a name, but then they destroyed all of the soil and didn't replace it with new topsoil, and it's just been a nightmare ever since.
So Terry Gross is not going to recommend Giscari wine.
No, she is not. No, nor will anybody. Not when you can get a good bottle of wine for $5? The sea provides all the salt that Karth requires, but I would gladly take as many olives as you care to sell me. Yeah. At which point Daenerys grabs her collar with a single finger and pulls it away, implying that she's letting steam rise out in embarrassment. I have none to offer. The slavers burn the trees. Come on, slavers. You already have a bad name for yourself. Now don't get rid of the supply of extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah, this is, of all of the atrocities that have been described in this book, this is truly the worst.
This is the worst thing that's happened. I see why they cut it from the television show. Yeah. There's certain lines you just don't cross.
I mean, my God, how are they going to make a base for their tomato sauces?
I don't know.
You need to put some olive oil in there, saute some onions, carrots, and celery, and then you got a base going for that tomato sauce of yours.
Are you doing caprese with just balsamic by itself?
My God, the horror, the horror.
A pretty metal, but fickle as a woman. Gold now. Gold is sincere. Karth will gladly give you gold for slaves. Breen is the city of free men. A poor city that was once rich. A hungry city that was once fat. A bloody city that was once peaceful. His accusations stung. There was too much truth in them. It's like people haven't done any history lessons. It's always a little bit rough after the revolution. Like, it takes some time to rebuild.
I feel like I've finally realized that all of this is about the U.S. pulling out of the Middle East after their many wars that they've gotten themselves involved in.
Yeah, it definitely could. I assumed it was about the National Football League. One of the two. We both agree it's a metaphor.
National Football League? Constant warfare in the Middle East thanks to American influence? I don't see a difference.
Why not both? My freedmen, Danny started. Bed slaves, barbers, and brickmakers win no battles. He was wrong in that, she hoped. Let him think what he will. Have you forgotten? I have dragons. Do you? In Karth, you were seldom seen without a dragon on your shoulder. Yet now that that shapely shoulder is as fair and bare as your sweet breast, I observe, which I like because I am a man who has sex with women and finds them attractive.
You know, he's looking at those and just mumbling, I want to touch that bag of sand.
He's a weird character because it's like he, like I feel like he's in a unique place for most characters in literature. Like either gay characters tend to deny that they're gay, or they tend to, like, I'm powerful, so I get to be gay. You know, oppression of gays is only for the lower class. Where he, like, admits that he likes men, but, like, still holds up the illusion that he's supposed to like women when nobody's buying it. And it just seems like the saddest kind of cosplay. Where he's like, I'm a straight man that loves bare breasts for their sexual purposes, and not just because, you know, it's kind of a pleasing shape aesthetically.
Listen, he's basically Joel Grey before, like, 5 years ago.
Teach me about Joel Grey before 5 years ago.
Oh, Jesus Christ, the MC from Cabaret.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, oh yeah, listen. He won that Oscar and he was like, no, I'm straight, guys. This is what I deserve the Oscar for.
And everybody's like, well, that's not that great of an act. So he brings a gift to her. The gift you beg of me. He brought 13 ships. And in exchange, he wants her to leave. So 13 galleys, which must be pretty big ships. But I just don't understand how it's anywhere close to what she could possibly need. Unless these ships are just way bigger than I could imagine. How many people do you think could fit on a galley, Max?
I mean, they kind of explain the logistics of it when they're like, if we just took like ourselves and our main forces, we could make it. But if we wanted to take like any of the Myrinese with them, I believe one character says they would need 100 ships. You know, they're fairly big, but, you know, they're not going to transport all of the people who they would want to transport out so that they would not be slaughtered in their exit from this tumultuous Middle East metaphor region.
Right. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, I feel like Mirian would be bigger than I'm thinking. Like, simple, like, if they could fit 300 people on one of these ships, and you multiply by 100, that's 30,000, which I guess could be in the order of magnitude, but... I don't know. Somebody send me a mid, you know, 1100 ship that could hold that many people. I'm very curious. And then later they're like, well, then a bunch of people could follow on the land. And it's like, well, then why didn't you just walk? And also, like, what are you going to do when you actually need to cross the sea? Yeah. I don't understand any of that.
I feel like Zaro is the proxy for the reader who's just like, hurry up the plot already.
Yeah,
get them across the ocean.
Yeah, I will give you 13 ships for free if you just go. If you just go. I don't even care if you win anymore. I just want you to get over there and torch some people with some dragons.
Look, you can abandon all of these subplots. We're not interested. Just hurry things up already, please. I can't believe there's two more books left. So many people in Westeros keep complaining about how many books there are left.
God, I feel like life goes on so slowly, you know?
It's like maybe once a decade a bunch of things happen.
Danny wondered how many men 13 galleys could hold. You and me both, sister. My brother once told me a Westerosi riddle. Who listens to everything yet hears nothing? A knight of the Kingsguard, Somley's voice was solemn. You heard Zaro make his offer? I did, Your Grace. The old knight took pains not to look at her bare breast as he spoke to her. The whole chapter is tracking person by person who does not look at her breast.
And this is truly the test of who and who isn't a male feminist.
Somewhere on a Game of Thrones, or sorry, a Song of Ice and Fire wiki is a table with who saw her in her Carthine wardrobe and who didn't look. 13 is a bad number. So the next morning, she suggests it to her Khalasar? I forget. Her people. 13 is a bad number, Khaleesi, murmured Jiqui in the Dothraki tongue. It is known. It is known, Eerie agreed. 30 would be better, Daenerys agreed. 300 better still. But 13 may suffice to carry us to Westeros. The two Dothraki girls exchanged a look. The poison water is accursed, Khaleesi, said Eerie. Horses cannot drink it. I don't intend to drink it, Danny promised them. It's just salt water, for the love of God.
I feel like more than any other chapter so far, this is Daenerys assuming the Hillary Clinton role. Yeah, she's surrounded by advisors who are constantly second-guessing her and not providing her the appropriate platforms. She's stuck between 1,000 different situations that are not entirely of her own making, but some of them are.
I was very sad that the Podesta emails that have been released thus far contain no mention of Boar's Gore and swords. I thought I was on Hillary's train. I thought she was on mine, but now I don't know.
Well, we weren't in the Sony emails. Then we weren't in the Podesta emails. It's like, come on, Assange, what are you doing besides evading the charges for your terrible activities?
They did mention some of Alyssa Rosenberg. Yeah. Lord Gale was the first to present himself, looking even more wretched than usual. He's like, hey, come and save us. Is it Yunkai?
Mm-hmm.
The armies of Yunkai descend on Astapor. Come south with all your strength. And she's like, well, then who would guard my walls, idiot? But she doesn't say that out loud. She's like, nope. I warned you, and now you're all going to die. We are all dead then. You gave us death, not freedom. Gale leapt to his feet and spat into her face. Strong Belwes seized him by the shoulder and slammed him down onto the marble so hard that Danny heard Gail's teeth crack. The shave pace would have done worse, but she stopped him.
Yeah, another fine showing from Strong Belwes. He truly is the all-star character that we all miss and would have loved in the television show.
Yeah, he's. I'm trying to imagine who would have played him. Oh my God, you know who should have played him?
Who?
Okay, just imagine. He's a man with martial arts ability. He's a great fighter. He's large. He's tan. His belly's constantly extruding from his wardrobe. He's got a ponytail. He's a famous
I'm
action
really
hero of
where
the past.
This is going. Steven Seagal?
Yes. Steven Seagal would have been the perfect Strong Belwes.
First of all, I'm not sure that you could get Steven Seagal outside of North Korea anymore.
Oh, is that where he's hanging out now?
I think so. I know that he's associating with a lot of strongmen.
Well, it's either that or, like, the country in Louisiana, and I don't know which one is more troublesome.
I believe Louisiana country area is the North Korea of the South.
Though they have a lot of very delicious food. Unlike North Korea.
Truly.
Come on, he'd be such a good Strong Belwes. The best part, he wouldn't really speak.
Oh, you know he'd constantly be ad-libbing, though, and they'd have to never put those scenes in.
The entire cast would just turn into Kif surrogates. The ships are sound, then, she said, hoping. Sound enough, Your Grace. They're old, but they're pretty good. One of them I wouldn't take away from land. That seems like a low bar.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you gave us one of your shitty ships. A shit ship.
A shit.
Yeah.
Resnack Mo Resnack gave a piteous moan. Then it is true. Your worship means to abandon us. He gets real whiny. Like, this is a clingy constituent. He wrung his hands. The Yunkai will restore the great masters the instant you are gone, and we who have so faithfully served your cause will be put to the sword, our sweet wives and maiden daughters raped and enslaved. Not mine. I will kill them first with mine own hand. Danny felt as if he had slapped her face instead. How? Asked Simon Strike back, name for the tangle of scars that ridged his back and shoulders, a reminder of the whippings he had suffered as a slave in Astapor. 13 ships. That's not enough. 100 ships might not be enough. Wooden horses are no good, objected Romo, the old Jacaran. Dothraki will ride. They will make slaves of us, or throw us in the pits. All will be as it was, or worse. Sir Barristan is the only one who's like, come on, guys! Frankly, his arguments aren't very good. He's just like, I am sick of this area, none of this has to do with reconquering Westeros. And again, as a stand-in for the reader, he's like, let's go! These, he does air quotes when he's like, these people aren't real Westerosis. They need to stand up for themselves.
Barristan is like, look, guys, you can only eat so much hummus. I love pita chips. They're great. But do we have to eat them all the time?
Brave words from one who means to sail into the sunset, Stripeback snarled back. Will you look back at our dying? Your grace, magnificence, your worship. Enough! Danny slapped the table. No one will be left to die. You are all my people. Her dreams of home and love had blinded her. I will not abandon Meereen to the fate of Astapor, it grieves me to say, but Westeros must wait. Instead, we will have hundreds, if not thousands, of pages of bureaucracy.
More people informing us about what other people have done while we are inactive.
Alliance building. Slow and careful buildup of trust. Instead of
info dumps, info dumps, info dumps, all info.
Instead of anything glamorous or exciting to distract us from the cruel, hard work of ruling. Look, I think that's what we all want.
A lot of people say that you need to go out there and really get a plot moving to have a good time. I think that we can just sit in our asses and do just fine by ourselves.
Yeah. Look how many books I've sold, despite how awful this is.
He has the perfect argument.
Yeah.
Look at how successful he is. This is what the people want.
Sir Barristan went to one knee before her. My queen, your realm has need of you. You are not wanted here, but in Westeros men will flock to your banners by the thousands. Great lords and noble knights, she has come, they will shout to one another in glad voices. Prince Rhaegar's sister has come home at last. If they love me so much, they'll wait for me. Which, you know, finally a hero in a book taking a stand for functioning government.
Listen, a lot of the times the heroes will just come in, liberate an oppressed people, and go fuck off to the mountain somewhere to have sex with a witch, which is what most of the fantasy books I prefer to read end with. Huh. But not Daenerys.
No.
She stays there. She makes sure that the interim government has all of the support it needs to function. Or she just abandons them to get fucked up by some other weird Middle Eastern standing group.
She's listening. She's like, I want to go to subcommittee after subcommittee after subcommittee. Until we really have a real handle on the problem.
Do we have a functioning rules committee? Do we have rules for the rules committee? Guys, we need to sort this out.
I feel like nobody here read the Robert's Rules of Order I assigned yesterday, which was mostly he with the biggest warhammer gets to speak.
Truly, it has never failed us.
Zaro's glad smile died upon his lips. What are you saying? Are you telling me you will not go? You cannot. And then he gets like real evil boyfriend on her. You cannot know how many enemies you have made. When your dragons were small, they were a wonder. Grown, they are death and devastation, a flaming sword above the world. He wiped away the tears. I should have slain you in Qarth. Like, listen, I know it's a breakup, but there's some things you just can't take back. And like, I should have murdered you when you were below age. That's not a good, that's not one you can take back.
Look, you don't threaten to murder somebody. You just unfriend them on Facebook. That's all you have to do, Zaro.
And he has the very rare, instead of taking the threat and leaving politely and doubling down on the threat instead. He's like, never presume to threaten me again. Zaro's own Daxos does not threaten. He promises. Oh, damn.
And listen, I would love to send a bunch of people a bloodstained glove of war. Nothing would make me happier and more complete. But I don't do it, because it's not the right thing to do.
Exactly. And I promise you that if you are not gone before the sun comes up, we will learn how well a liar's tears can quench dragon fire. Leave me, Zaro, quickly. And then he leaves. He spoke no word. Oh, so the next morning, Zaro's Galios was gone. But the gift, in parentheses, that he had brought her remained behind in Slaver's Bay. Long red streamers flew from the masts of 13 Carthine galleys, writhing in the wind. And when Daenerys descended to hold court, a messenger from the ships awaited her. He spoke no word, but laid at her feet a black satin pillow, upon which rested a single bloodstained glove. "What is this?" Skahaz demanded. "A bloody glove?" "Means war," said the queen. "I'm just happy nobody's hand was in it, frankly."
You know, that shows a lot of restraint. A lot of other exes would put the hand in the bloodstained glove. Zaro has some restraint.
Yeah, Zaro could have been like, "Here, messenger boy, I need you to take something from Danny. Here, try this glove on. See what it looks like on this black pillow. Now close your eyes."
I think that you have a really, really effective, if short, career in hand modeling about to start.
Also, I'm going to admit to you, the compensation isn't great.
Oh, you're going to want disability. You're not going to get disability.
I do have to say, though, it's a great story. It's a really good story. You're going to love to tell it at parties.
So, now on to John's chapter, a.k.a. Inventory and Advisories.
God, I just love how deep into the bureaucracy we're getting.
We are full on into bureaucracy of two different fucking organizations which are being held back from actually doing things by the fact that they have to engage in all of this fucking talky talk, no walky walk.
Fortunately,
that's my problem. Too much talky talk, no walky walk.
This is an angry man who invented the walkie talkie. That was that character you were doing.
There's too much talky talk, not enough walky walk. Now, I say to you, what if there was both walkie and talkie?
Simultaneously, what would you do? Well, that'd be amazing, but those can't happen at the same time. Well, today, for only three payments of $99.99.
Now, this is something that Iger can really get behind.
We give you Aaron Sorkin's walkie and talkie.
Special appearance by Gilbert and Sullivan references well beyond their years.
Careful of the rats, my lord. Dollar said led, and I think I remembered the name right. Dollar said led John down the steps, a lantern in one hand. They make an awful squeal if you step on them. I like that these rats are so large that all they do is squeal and then continue and scurry off. Not like, hey, you'll kill the rats and then we'll have to clean up a curtain of rats. Bowen Marsh, known as future trader and esquire, Bowen Marsh, was waiting at a junction where four wormways met. With him, he had Wick Whittlestick, tall and skinny as a spear. These are the counts from 3 turns ago, Marsh told John, offering him a thick sheaf of papers, for comparison with our present stores. Shall we start with the granaries?
You're going to tell me that you're not going to start with the granaries? What kind of inventory taking is this? Inventory taking 101. We all took it. First lesson, start with the granaries.
In my head, I have cast Bowen Marsh not with his television version, but with the head of the accounting firm that always wants to hire Ben in Parks and Rec.
I would love to see the Game of Thrones themed Cones of Dunshire, though.
it'd be something really boring. It'd be like the accounts of accounting. It'd be the inboxes of the accounting department or something.
Oh God.
300 hams and 300 long black sausages hung from ceilings.
Let me tell you, that's the dream. 1,000 black sausages? 3,000 black sausages.
I hope they use this description for the next Guild of Cookery. Just this storeroom is what you walk into. So one thing, I was talking to the guy who runs it.
I just imagine myself twirling like Mary Tyler Moore through a storeroom full of hams and sausages.
So I was talking to him. He reread all of the books, and he marked every time a food was mentioned in the book.
Wow!
So he has a stack of books on his desk that have every reference, including this one. Just imagine this. I'm just spitting here. And the next casts of salt beef, salt pork, salt mutton, and salt cod were stacked 10 feet high. In the spice locker, they found peppercorns, cloves, cinnamon, mustard seeds, coriander, sage, clary sage, parsley, blocks of salt. Elsewhere, there were casks of apples, pears, dried peas, dried figs, bags of walnuts, bags of chestnuts, bags of almond, planks of dried smoked salmon, clay jars packed with olives and oil, and sealed with wax.
One storeroom offered potted hare, haunch of deer and honey, pickled cabbage, pickled beets, pickled onions, pickled eggs, and pickled herring. That's a lot of pickling. Listen, how does the watch have a better pantry than I do?
I don't know, but they're pretty stacked.
I would give what I wouldn't give for just a 10% fraction of those sausages.
and we discovered that they use a tunnel under the wall as a deep freezer.
That's inventive. I like that. I like that when there's unexpected uses of fantasy elements.
Though, as a security person, if I was auditing the wall, I would say, did you make your own tunnel under the wall?
Yeah, this really seems like they're kind of literally undermining the effectiveness of their wall.
Yeah, I never thought of undermining. That's what that actually means.
They
meant.
Are literally undermining the effectiveness of their own wall.
And they're like, but we needed to keep our hams cold. And they were like, seems like a worthwhile risk, frankly.
Listen, no wildling is ever going to disturb the sanctity of a ham storage unit.
Not for a goddamn second. Mm-mm. It is worse than I feared, my lord, Marsh announced when he was done. John had just been thinking all the meat in the world surrounded them. How so? This seems like a good amount of food. Not even trying to do basic arithmetic. Now, though, if we must go on feeding all these kingsmen and queensmen and wildlings, Molestown alone has 1,000 useless mouths, and still they come. 3 more turned up yesterday at the gates, 12 the day before. It cannot go on. Settling them on the gift, that's well and good. But it is too late to plant crops. We'll be down to turnips and peas porridge before the year is out. After that, we'll be drinking the blood of our own horses.
Yum, declared Dollar said. Nothing beats a hot cup of horse blood on a cold night. I like mine with a pinch of cinnamon sprinkled on top. He is inventing pumpkin spice horse blood.
And then Lord John Snow's like, seriously, I'm sick of this. Why is it horse blood everything?
My God, it's not even November and everybody's breaking out the horse blood.
I like the very lazy insult of Tormund Giantsbane. They call him Tormund Giant's Butt.
I had that one highlighted too. I like that one a lot. It was very immature. I liked it.
Tormund Giant's Butt and the Bloody Weeper knows it too. Ever see a duck frozen in a pond with his feet in the ice? It works the same for crows. I've not seen a duck frozen in a pond with his feet in the ice, and I hope not to. I hope that's a made up thing. Don't at me.
I've never seen it, but now that somebody's mentioned it, I have to assume it's existed, and all I can imagine is that duck like quacking and the underwater view of its feet paddling in the
I don't like it.
Somebody please decapitate that duck for its own good.
That's it. And then cook it and have it at a lovely, lovely banquet.
Exactly.
We cannot leave King Stannis and his men to starve, even if we wish to, Jon said. If need be, he could simply take all this at sword point. We do not have the men to stop them. The wildlings must be fed as well. How, my lord, asked Bowen Marsh. Would that I knew. We will find a way. Life always finds a way.
Nah, truly. Except when it comes to getting more hams into your hands.
Devon the squire looked pale as a ghost, his face damp with perspiration. My lord, his grace commands your presence. The boy was clad in Baratheon gold and black, with flaming heart of a queen's man sewn above his own. You mean requests, said Dollar said. His grace requests presence of the lord commander. That's how I'd say it.
I do like how Dollar said messes with the low-ranking other people.
Oh, it's so good. It fits him well, much better than just being a annoying, perturbed underling.
Yeah, you know he's the guy who would like if a waiter like misspoke, he'd really jump on it, and the rest of the table would be like, "I know, Ed. It's funny. He said herring wrong or some shit."
I have that honor. He made it a point to learn all he could of the men around the king. Queen's men, all. It struck John as odd that there were no king's men about the king, but that seemed to be the way of it. But then maybe that first movie was underwhelming, and he didn't want to see any king's men for a while.
Honestly, nobody should ever want to see any Mark Millar productions. The man's not a good comic book writer, and all he's doing is trying to sell shitty movies based on his fucking dumb concepts.
I mean, it seems like a financially genius move if you want to get into comic book writing.
Oh! It is. The man's made a lot of money doing very little in the way of innovating.
It's weird watching British movies where it's like still okay to have just completely only white characters in an action movie.
Also, have you watched the because I watched Kingsman after dating a woman who said it was the worst movie, and I also agreed, but I kind of wanted to be like, I like this movie just despite her.
I thought there were parts of it that were very fun, and then parts of it that were just like so outlandishly stupid.
And that's the Mark Millar effect. Sometimes he has the ideas that are like, oh, that's a decent idea, and he follows it up with an idea that's so incredibly stupid, you're like, this ruins the rest of it.
Yeah. I'm surprised they got a second movie out of that.
Yeah, well, listen, sometimes a movie makes $150 million when you don't expect it to, and they're like, well, obviously we're going to turn this into a franchise, even though you're like, you could have stopped at one.
Yeah, unlike some great movies like The Accountant, which is number one in the country right now, and probably going to go on to be, I don't know, it'll probably be the new James Bond, I think. We're going to get a new autistic action hero in every one. We're starting with Ben Affleck, but I think we'll go to the actor who plays Sheldon Cooper pretty quickly.
Is this going to be an autism cinematic universe?
Benedict Cumberbatch will be in the role fairly soon. And then when we get all the way down to it, we'll get the male lead from American Beauty, whose name I don't remember.
I think you might have just named every single Hollywood depiction of autist up to this point.
Okay. Lady Melisandre smiled. You did say you wanted men, Lord Snow. I believe our Lord of Bones still qualifies. John was aghast. Your grace.
He's trying to pawn Rattleshirt off on him, of all people.
And they've got the, like, magical slave binding, which I did not expect to see in this universe. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
If I keep him here.
I'm glad that they cut this out of the TV show and were just like, nah, Tormund's on his side.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like because he was a reasonable human being and figured out that this might be a way forward, he was an innovative and smart man.
Mm-hmm.
The ruby at her throat throbbed slowly, a and John saw that the smaller stone on Rashid's wrist was brightening and darkening as well. So long as he wears the gem he is bound to me, blood and soul, the Red Priestess said. Also, I'll be sucking life out of him like the picture of Dorian Gray.
Oh, and all, anytime you watch a Dorian Gray adaptation, all you want to do is see that fucking portrait. That's all you ever want to do is see that fucking portrait. And sometimes those motherfuckers don't deliver at all. Looking at you, Penny Dreadful.
I was just about to say, I know you're thinking of a certain adaptation, and I was curious where it went.
Oh, no, I was like, fucking, this is stupid. I believe I watched part of Penny Dreadful and then part of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen very soon after, and I was like, where the fuck's this portrait? That's all I want to see is this dumb fucking portrait.
So, did you keep watching Penny Dreadful?
I quit sometime. I believe there's third episode of the second season. It's one of those shows that, like, I like all the actors and the general idea of it isn't bad, but it gets to be kind of fucking ponderous to watch all the way through, unless you're really invested in the dumb mythology and all that stupid bullshit.
There's a dramatic shows I've kind of, with the sole exception of Game of Thrones, because I do a podcast about it, and Westworld because I'm obsessed with it. When I see a dramatic show that I like, I literally go like, oh, this is a good show. I'm going to wait 5 years and then watch it all at once. Because there's like, no, for a normally paced television show, nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing happens. Just week to week, nothing happens. I've been very into Turn on AMC, which is about George Washington's spy network, which is, there's a lot of elements that I enjoy, but I started watching it after the third season was already underway, and when I went back and thought about all the things that had happened over the first two seasons, I was like, I would have given up so long ago if I had to wait 1 week. just 1 week, and then I got like just nothing out of it, just some other father-son bullshit without the plot moving forward at all. Like, I just wouldn't have paid attention to it. I've been thinking recently about the fact that some of my most satisfying dramatic television experiences are miniseries. Like, even ones that weren't great, just the fact that they were able to execute an arc over, you know, 6 or 8 hours. And I've been watching Ascension. Did you hear about this?
Which one is this one?
So it came out 2 years ago, and I didn't hear about it. It was literally Netflix just propagated it up to me. I'm not done with it. I think there's like 6 episodes, and I'm like three. I've watched 3 of them. And the first 20 minutes are so cheesy and awful that I was like, oh, Lauren might like this. And then I somehow made it to the end of the second episode, and it takes a turn. And I'm enjoying it a lot, even though I don't think it's very good. It's just the idea that they took a really cool concept. They may, you know, they have just one arc that it's all going to the same place, and then it's going to be done, and they can have a whole thing that they can ship off into the ether. But yeah, if you like sci-fi shows, I recommend Ascension. It's premise is that it's a ship that was secretly launched in the 1960s to make it to the closest livable galaxy in 100 years. So the grandchildren of the people who left the planet are the people who will actually arrive there. And it is around year 51, and so it's supposed to be in the present day, essentially. So it's good.
All right. I feel like... no one's really been able to negotiate a sort of median point between the standard show an episode every week model and the more Netflix model of a 13-hour movie.
Right.
So I feel like at some point, either a lot of these shows, like I'm looking at a lot of the Marvel shows because a lot of them were basically just fucking stupid 13-hour movies.
Right.
They're going to have to be more self-contained and procedural if they hope to go on. I don't really know what the long game is for a lot of these, because a lot of them seem like they cannot propagate themselves after more than 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that if they just planned on it being 2 to 3 seasons. But we all know that that's like when you really start getting the huge audience, and that's how you know, they get people in. But it's so much more satisfying when they're shorter.
I've been liking the trend of the anthology series where each season has, you know, either has or doesn't have some sort of connection to what came before. But, you know, they're able to get good, solid people to come in who wouldn't normally commit to a television series. And they get to, you know, innovate with the form. Looking at you, Fargo, you beautiful bitch.
I was going to say, I like it conceptually, but can you think of more than just Fargo that's been successful after a few years?
I mean, fucking O.J. Simpson,
the fucking the O.J. Simpson one has been huge, and they're going to follow that up with oh my God, that one. I believe he's following. I forgot what exact crime he's doing, but he's also doing stupid. Ryan Murphy is doing a Hollywood Feuds show where it's going to be Bette Davis against her sister.
Interesting.
Or whoever. I think it's Bette Davis, Katharine Hepburn. I think they're going to show that feud. And the cast has been announced so far. It looks fucking crazy. And as somebody who's been doing a lot of You Must Remember This, and I'm all there for it. And, you know, what? They'd never be able to do that fucking show as a show that has to go on forever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
One season and out. That's the way it needs to happen.
One season and out.
The elder of Great John's uncles. Crowfood, they called him. A crow once took him for dead and pecked out his eye. He caught the bird in his fist and bit its head off, and then he sang Crazy Train. can this man Morse be trusted? No. So this gets in a lot of intrigued with the Umbers. John comes in and says, Your Grace, I don't know if the Umbers have declared for you. And they do not seem to take John's... Oh, here's the thing. So Stannis, the sticking point with the Umbers is that Crowfood's price is he wants Mantraitor's skull for a drinking cup, and he wants a pardon for his brother, who has ridden to the south to join Bolton. I get the problem with the pardon. You don't want to be seen as lenient if you're Stannis, but of course, I mean, standard point of entry is a drinking cup of my enemy's skull. Like, just a standard thing you bring to a dinner party.
If you're not using the skull, you might as well give it to somebody who will.
Right. Just use every part of your vanquished enemy.
That's the thing. Too many people are letting their vanquished enemies rot as a sign to their other enemies when they could just be utilizing every single part of that body.
This could be a very progressive line, or this could have also been what led to weird cannibal societies in Westworld. The Red Priestess slid closer to the king. I saw a town with wooden walls and wooden streets, filled with men. So she has this vision. Banners flew above its walls. A moose, a battle axe, three pine trees, long axes crossed beneath a crown, a horse's head with fiery eyes. And Suggs names all the houses. Hornwood, Serwyn, Talhart, Riswell, and Dustin. Traitors all, lapdogs of the Lannisters. We'll see how that shakes out. Mm-hmm. And then it's time for Stannis and Jon Snow to have their weekly one-on-one.
They really need to get to know each other, really just parlay a bit, like give some good back and forth. And, you know, I think that they're both learn a little something about each other and themselves afterwards.
For sure. So he's like, I'm going to attack the Dreadfort. And John lays out all the military reasons that is an awful, no good, very bad idea. Mm-hmm. And if Roose Bolton could catch you beneath his walls with his main strength, it will be the end for all of you. He means to plunder our armory, John realized. Food and clothing, land and castles, now weapons. He draws me in deeper every day. Words might not be swords, but swords were swords. That's a very good point.
Listen, sometimes words are swords, and sometimes swords are words, but swords are also generally swords.
Generally. I'm not going to say 100% of the time. Well,
sometimes a sword is a sword, but sometimes a sword isn't a sword, even though it is also a sword still.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a chocolatey treat.
You want to watch out, though. You don't want to mix up those swords and those chocolate swords.
Yeah, it can be a bad end in battle, especially if it's a hot day. Take a knee and swear that bastard sword to me. How many times do you have to make me say it? My sword is sworn to the Night's Watch. Stannis looked disgusted. Your father was a stammered man as well. Honor, he called it. Well, honor has its costs, as Lord Eddard learned to his sorrow. If it gives you any solace, Horp and Massey are doomed to disappointment. I'm more inclined to bestow Winterfell upon Arnulf Karfstark. Your Grace, I know where you might find more men. Give me the wildlings, and I will gladly tell you where. 2,000, perhaps 3. And then he sends them after the, like, mountain men.
Yeah. I don't know who the fuck these mountain men are, but let me tell you, I don't think that this is going to work out in Stannis' favor.
Do you think Snow is lying about the mountain
men? I think that Stannis is going to fuck it up by being a fucking dummy who can't just be generally charming for even a second to go, hey, nice mountain wine. Hey, nice mountain wenches.
Yeah, so they Yeah, so there's 2 score small and large of these tribes. Flint, Wool, Nori, Little. Win Old Flint and Big Bucket. The rest will follow. And he says what everybody reading is thinking. Big Bucket?
Big Bucket?
Yep. You got to kick the Big Bucket if you're going to if you're gonna move on. They live nearest to the gift and have always been good friends to the watch. He gives them guides. And these mountain lords will not hinder my passage, only with feasts. Each will try to outdo the others with his hospitality. These are the first guys I'm going to. If I'm going to war. If somebody's going to try and have outfeast a competition, I'm going to let them.
Yeah, listen. You know Ned Stark isn't one of those guys who really cares about food that much. So when he goes, I got fed pretty well, you got to take that as a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, Ned Stark was like, I just eat Soylent every day.
Yeah, his highest compliment was, functional.
For 3,000 men, I suppose I can endure some pipes and porridge, the king said. You motherfucker, ungrateful bastard.
He really is the biggest ingrate.
Where would you have me lead these stalwarts, if not against the Dreadfort? John glanced down at the map. Deepwood Mott, he tapped it with a finger. If Bolton means to fight the Iron Men, so must you. Deepwood is a Mott and Bailey castle in the midst of thick forest, easy to creep up on unawares. A wooden castle, defended by an earthen dike and a palisade of logs. Stannis rubbed his jaw. When Balon Greyjoy rose the first time, I beat the Iron Men at sea, where they are the fiercest. On land, taken unawares? I have won a victory over the wildlings and their king beyond the wall. If I can smash the Iron Men as well, the North will know it has a king again. And I will have 1,000 wildlings, thought Jon, and no way to feed even half that number. What a great plan!
He's really ensuring that he's going to be completely successful in all of his ventures.
Yeah, no, this is working out for him, and I see no way that this goes badly.
Huh. All right, and that's the chapter.
And that's the chapter, and we've had 2 great chapters. We're both smarter and more considered about the problems with ruling over a people. And really, that's what you want when you read a fantasy book.
I don't know why we aren't both writing Game of Thrones and on the writing staff for Westworld. We're so smart.
We're so good at this. Listen, I could write a bureaucracy episode of Westworld that would blow your mind.
I would love for you to write a spec script that's just about the Westworld customer service department.
I mean, it's probably already being written by Scott Adams, new showrunner.
What an awful man.
But he's got great abs that he will show to you if you threaten him.
Oh, God.
Well, that has been a weird end to this week's book club. As we mentioned before, on patreon.com/BorgorSwords, we got the latest Great British Bake Off episode. Is Andrew still on the show?
We're going to see. Is Selassie still there, being that big old chocolate teddy bear that he is?
God, I hope so. Yeah. Andrew till the end. I think he's got an outside chance.
I truly believe so, too. Also, tell us if you want us to not do book club anymore and do Westworld.
That we'd be interested in hearing that.
Nothing would make me happier. I hate reading so fucking much. It's so stupid. It's like I only have this stimulus to occupy me. I need like 5 other stimuli.
All of them. All right, hit us up on Twitter at BoysGoreSwords. Hit us up on Facebook. Just search for BoysGoreSwords. Patreon, we've already mentioned twice, so I won't do that again. Find us on Twitter at BoysGoreSwords. Find Ivan at Ivan_Hernandez.
And find Red on Twitter at Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.